Let's talk fantasy sports, real sports, esports, and some betting. Now, here's your host Dave, and some mix of Connor, CJ, Zub, Brian, and Nick. It's the one-stop shop for your gaming and fantasy needs. This is Sports Euphoria.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody. Hope you guys are having a great Friday, and I hope you guys have a great Friday night, depending on when you're listening to this, and a great weekend. I'm your host, Dave, with another episode of Sports Euphoria Podcast. Today, we are going to be reviewing Thursday Night Football, the game between the Cowboys and the Saints. And then we are also going to be previewing the rest of week 13 as well for Sunday and Monday's games. So with that being said, we are going to just jump right into it, and we are going to review this game, the hideous game that it was indeed last night. And I know you guys are thinking, oh, it's, you know, it was a good game though. Like, I don't understand. It was a good game, blah, blah, blah. It was not a good game. It was an ugly game. It was a hideous game. We don't want to talk about that game. Yes, the Cowboys won. So I understand that the Cowboys won. Okay, that's fantastic. All right. So, game was a 10-point game. Taysom Hill got hurt. His finger is a mallet finger, calling it very similar to Russell Wilson's injury, but not exactly his injury per se. Okay. So he did have a splint on it. He tried playing with it. That, in my opinion, I'm not a professional, led to his interceptions. He was underthrowing the ball a couple times. He had Tre'Quan Smith on a crossing pattern, which could have had a touchdown. That could have changed it up a little bit. Defense played well. Zeke played like crap, but he had a bad knee. He compared it to a stubbed toe where, you know, you stub your toe, it hurts, and the pain goes away. His knee would lock off from time to time. You would see him limping on the sidelines. But the Saints defense is the number one run defense in the league for a reason. If it wasn't for Tony Pollard's big run, it wouldn't have been the greatest game either. It would have been under 100 yards rushing for everybody. CeeDee Lamb did have a run for 33 yards as well, though, but it still would not have been the greatest game. They may have just hit 100 yards if it wasn't with all those carries. But yeah, CeeDee Lamb had a good game. He had 13 targets. He was heavily targeted. Michael Gallup had 9 targets. He was second in the team. 36 yards. on the ground or in the air and a touchdown, a 1 yard touchdown. Dalton Schultz, 5 for 5, 43 yards. So he got you 9 points, 9.3, depending on your scoring. Like I said, CeeDee Lamb was pretty much the guy to have, and Tony Pollard, but chances are you were starting Zeke if he was playing, according to Jerry Jones, full workload. Pollard had a total of 11 touches, while Zeke had a total of 16. Their run defense was just really good. Dak did not look great. 26 of 40 with a bad interception, and he has good hands, good throwing hand, and a touchdown. Taysom Hill did have 24 points, 2 touchdowns, but 4 interceptions. Like I said, they were bad interceptions. Underthrew the ball a lot. I'm not going to get into the interceptions that people had. One was in triple coverage. It was a great catch by, I believe it was Curse. You know, there's another one by Diggs, another one by one of the linemen, and then another one by, I forgot his name. But yeah, they were bad throws. He was missing. He couldn't, you know, the middle finger is very important when you're throwing a football. So when that finger is the one that's messed up, it's going to be hard. But he did rush the ball for 101 yards. No rushing touchdowns. Mark Ingram didn't look good. Ty Montgomery didn't look good. If it wasn't for Deontay Harris's 70-yard, you know, touchdown, that would have been a bad game for him. Little John Humphrey had a touchdown. But you're not – it was just an ugly, ugly game overall. If I'm a Cowboys fan, from a real football perspective, I'm still scared. I'm still nervous. I'm still worried. They don't look good. You know, they just don't. Offense doesn't look the same. Dak's missing throws. Defense, something's going on with defense. I'm not really sure what it is, even with DeMarcus Lawrence back. I mean, again, the game score does not really show what the game, how it was played. Watching it was not pretty. Like I said, if Taysom Hill throws the ball better than what he's thrown it, 19 for 41, that's terrible. If he never gets hurt and hits his middle finger on the one lineman's arm, I'm sorry to say it, but I think the Cowboys lose. Like, I'm not leaving this game a Cowboys fan happy about it. I'm not. But we're here for Fantasy Perspectives, so that's what we are doing. Fantasy Perspectives, and that is that game. Nothing too pretty to talk about, like I said there, but what are you going to do? It is what it is. It is what it is. Sorry, I was just getting a drink of water. So, very quickly, week 13. Also, I didn't say this, but I am going to be streaming on Twitter. I'm trying out a new platform. So I'm streaming on Twitter, streaming on Twitch, and Facebook. So if you want to follow me, sports_euphoria on Twitter, sports euphoria on Facebook, and sports euphoria on Twitch. If you hear me interacting with anybody, that is what I'm doing. I am live streaming this. So if you are listening to the audio version of this, that is why. So if you want to see the live broadcast and ask me questions, by all means, please do so. I do try to get in touch with everybody and answer questions. But with that being said, we're going to jump right into the other games for the rest of week 13. I'm going to go with the usual. You guys know how it goes. My start of the week. My start of the week, because it's just me. I'm giving you three positions: quarterback, running back, wide receiver. My duds of the week and my sleepers of the week. My starts of the week are Lamar Jackson, Alexander Mattison, and Hunter Renfrow. I think that they're both going to exceed their projected points, and they're going to have really good games. I believe Lamar Jackson is going to put the Steelers away, put them to sleep. They're just going to go night-night. I also feel that Alexander Mattison, when he played the Lions previously, he gotten, 26.3 points, touched the ball about 33 times. 32 times for 153 yards and a touchdown. So I think he could do that again with the Lions. And then Hunter Renfrow is pretty much the only option right now that they have in Las Vegas. And it's a very favorable matchup for him as well. So I expect him to have a big game. And we'll talk about Foster Moreau later as well. But those are my starts of the week. My duds, which again are anybody that is going to do less than their projections or not as well as their projections. Joe Burrow, again, just simply, it's not a talent thing. It's not a whatever thing. I know, my friends and I have been having some conversations about Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and how they're going to, progress and play throughout their career. But this is just a matchup thing. They've been running the ball extremely successfully with Mixon. He's been a top performer. He could be another start of the week because this run defense is absolutely terrible. So I expect a big, big game for Mixon. James Robinson, as always, this is a bad situation for them. I think he'll be playing from behind a lot, so he might get some catches, but just not a fan of them and how they've been playing. I really expect Travis Etienne next year to take that job over. Especially Robinson has been having some nagging injuries. But I mean, another dud of the week is going to be Deontay Johnson. I just firmly believe that the Ravens are going to take him away. Big Ben's not going to have enough time to throw the ball, so I don't necessarily. The only way I see Johnson meeting his projections is just for the simple fact of it's probably going to be, I got to get rid of the hot reads. I got to get rid of the ball. That's just my take. That's what I think. But, he has the ability to take one to the house, but I just don't see it coming. I just think they're going to make the Steelers one-dimensional. It's going to be a lot of Najee Harris, and they're going to rush Ben to throw the ball. Sleepers of the week. I have Tua against the Giants. He is a better passer than Jalen Hurts. And with Waddle, and if Devontae Parker does play, that gives him another option. Now, Adoree Jackson is not playing for, and I'll talk about this in the game preview, Dory Jackson is not playing for the Giants. He's out. So therefore, it's up to James Bradberry and Xavier McKinney and things like that. I do not see them. I don't have Bradberry. If Bradberry shadows Waddle, I expect a bigger game because he does not do well with speedy people, especially for long stints. I just expect this to be an ugly game. The Dolphins defense has been playing better. Mike Glennon's playing, and I just think Tua is going to have some dump offs to Gaskin. I think Tua is going to have a nice game. Devontae Freeman is the other one. Like I said, with Lamar Jackson, they're going to just rip the Steelers' hearts out from every angle, and it's not even going to be close. I do feel bad for any Steelers fans out there in general and anybody who has the Steelers defense for any reason. Will they get sacks? Probably. Will they probably get an interception off Lamar? Maybe. But other than that, they're not going to get you enough points. A deep sleeper I have is Josh Reynolds. Jared Goff did hit Josh Reynolds last week on Thanksgiving. They do have some rapport as they played back in Los Angeles for the Rams together. And Minnesota's not good against receivers right now. So if it becomes a shootout, which means the Lions are obviously going to have to throw the ball and you're going to have a healthy amount of Jamal Williams, I expect Josh Reynolds to have it. It's boom or bust, but if you're desperate and you need a lot of points and the projections are saying you're going to get destroyed, I would play Josh Reynolds if you need to. So we'll get to trust or bust a little later. But for right now, I want to just dive right into the games. All righty. So the games we have on tap. We have first the Bucks and the Falcons. I don't know how I feel about Tom Brady right now. I'm going to be completely honest with you. That's too big for myself. Sorry, I just adjusted that. Not sure how I feel about Brady. Again, not from a playing perspective, but from the fantasy perspective. I think that Tom Brady, you're going to see it like the Fournette game last week. They're going to rely a lot on Fournette. It's the Falcons. They don't have a good offense. They're going to take away Kyle Pitts. It's going to be Cordarrelle Patterson. So I expect, again, Brady to get a couple yards, but the defense to step up, defense to get turnovers, shorter fields to be worked, and they're going to rely on a lot of Leonard Fournette, and maybe Rojo will get some garbage time points. You're going to start Fournette. You're going to start Evans. You're going to start Godwin. You're going to start Gronk. You're going to start all of them because you drafted them to start them after how they played, and they could decide to just throw the ball a little bit. The first half, they could be like, oh, we're just going to throw the ball. Evans has a touchdown for 60 in the first half, and Godwin has a touchdown for, 85 or 100 in the first half. Like, it could get ugly quick, and then they run the ball the rest of the game. But again, I just kind of feel as if they're going to protect Brady, just kind of save his arm for when they need him to come out and win some games. So I think they're going to rely on the running game a lot. The only other person I trust here in this game on the other side is Cordarrelle Patterson. I do not trust Kyle Pitts. He's like a 3 on the trust or bust, maybe even lower. You're only playing him if you have to at this point. I do like Foster Moreau over Pitts. If you can get Foster Moreau, I have Pitts in one league and it's a dynasty league. I thought he would have been playing better. I might even start Donald Parham over him right now this week because the Chargers have a good tight end matchup, but I'm not going to. I'm going to ride with Pitts just because he's a freak. He's a unicorn and he just has the ability to maybe beat somebody. And if Ryan hits him, I'll take it. But he is, one red zone target in the past couple weeks. He's just not been getting targeted at all. He had the big London game with no Ridley, but after that, no Ridley, teams have been focusing on Kyle Pitts and saying, we'll live or die with Patterson. He can't take every snap. So, just going to grab a drink real quick and then I'll go into the Bears Cardinals game. Alrighty. Bears, Cardinals. Bears offense is not going to have the greatest of games. Andy Dalton's probably going to be starting. Justin Fields probably isn't. Maybe in a shootout you get garbage time points, but I don't expect it to be, you know, crazy games. I expect the Cardinals defense to do well here. but Cardinals are ranking the towards the top again for points against quarterbacks and wide receivers, which means they don't give up a lot of points to quarterbacks on the year or to wide receivers on the year. They're a little bit in the middle of the pack for running backs, so Montgomery could have a decent game with Herbert, depending on how they use him. But we shall see. We shall definitely see how that goes. Cardinals also rank in the bottom half against tight ends, so it could be a sneaky Kmet game. Kmet could have, if you need a flyer again for tight end for some reason, or you need a streaming, you're one of those guys who stream tight ends. I do like Kmet, and I also do like Zach Ertz here as well. They rank in the bottom four against tight ends for points against the Bears. So I could see that being a place of interest for Murray if he plays. They also rank in the top 10 in the last 4 weeks for points against the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. So their defense has been getting better. Their one weakness is tight end. So especially if you're looking for like a DFS, like a tight end, Cole Kmet could be a good option here. However, if Murray plays, you're going to play Murray. If Hopkins plays and he's not limited, you're going to play D-Hop. You're going to start James Conner because Edmonds isn't playing. If you want to ride the hot hand of Darnell Mooney, go for it. I don't necessarily know if I trust it with Murphy as a cornerback with no Robinson. Not sure how I feel with that. Again, it is Andy Dalton. He's not going to care, and he's just going to throw it. But I definitely like it to be a better Cole Kmet game here for sure. Like I said, if Murray and D-Hop play, you're probably going to play them, especially if you need to make the playoffs because they haven't played, so you didn't get Colt McCoy, or anybody like that. So yeah. The game just scares me because I have a weird feeling it could be a low scoring game. So next we have Chargers Bengals. Eckler should have some good PPR points. Herbert's probably gonna look to check it down. He's probably going to be under a little bit of duress here. So I do expect, Herbert to have a little bit of a better game here. Because he's going to be checking it down. I don't trust Mike Williams at all. He's lower. He's been boom or bust. I'm still glad my buddy and I didn't pick him up. He could have helped win us a couple weeks earlier in the year and put us in a better position than where we are now. But to spend the crazy amount of fab that we would have had to get him, I don't think it was worth it. And I'm glad we didn't. Cincy's defense does rank in top in top for points against for everything for quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. They are 31st against the tight end. So I do expect Jared Cook could have a sneaky game here. Could have a sneaky game. I believe it was. Let me just double check something real quick. I could have sworn I had seen something, but I must be going crazy. I still do expect Jared Cook could have a sneaky game here. Yeah, in the last 4 weeks, they're 31st in points again. Sorry, it refreshed when I clicked on it. My apologies. So, Jared Cook could have a nice game, keep him in touch. Obviously, Keenan Allen's going to get his regardless, but Mike Williams is definitely going to be boom or bust. And Eckler, just because you're going to check it down, they don't really run the ball as much as they think they should, which makes him more one-dimensional. So, but Eckler's a beast. He's a great pass catcher. So, obviously, you're starting Eckler, Herbert, Allen. But if you're looking for a streaming tight end or a flyer because you're desperate, I like Jared Cook. The wide receivers for Cincy worry me, and so does Burrow, because it's going to be a big mixing game. It should be a big mixing game at least. So I wouldn't necessarily expect him to throw the ball a whole bunch unless the good Chargers team shows up. I don't necessarily expect it to be a crazy throwing game from Joe Burrow by any stretch. It's going to be a crazy throwing game for Justin Herbert, but unless they connect on some big plays and they can, you know, move the ball in chunks like they were earlier in the season, and Burrow, Herbert has one of his 5 touchdown games, I really don't expect him to be putting up big numbers. Again, Chargers secondary is decent at covering wide receivers, and everybody's been bracketing Jamar Chase a lot more now, and T. Higgins has been getting his opportunities and capitalizing on them. But again, just I can't say it enough. Joe Mixon is just going to go off here. He's a 10 on the trust or bust. 10. Like, start him everywhere. The next game I want to go to is Vikings-Lions. Talked about this a little bit with Alexander Mattison being one of my starts of the week. You want to start Jamal Williams in this game, as DeAndre Swift has been ruled out, and Jamal Williams is going to be getting a big workload. He is a talented back. He is not DeAndre Swift, but he is going to get volume and lots of it. And with this game and how it should be flowing, I do expect Detroit to run the ball a little bit more. The Vikings are towards the bottom part. They're ranked 28th in points against the running backs. So I do expect Detroit to run the ball a little bit. And they are 31st in the last 4 games, points against for quarterbacks, and 32nd for wide receivers, which is another reason as to why I like Josh Reynolds as a sneaky play here, because they rank last in points against to wide receivers. So keep that in mind. Like I said earlier, if you want to just rewind a little bit to see my Josh Reynolds talk, it's in the beginning under my start of the week. Also, if you're watching the VOD, it will be up on YouTube, or if you're watching the VOD on Twitch or anything like that, or Facebook, I share my screen. You can scroll up. You can see all that stuff there and see what I'm getting my stuff from. In a sense, I do share my screen with everybody so you guys can see what it is that I am working with as well. So, touched on Mattison. He torched the Lions the last time, like I had said. 32 touches, 153, and a touchdown. You're going to start Jefferson. You're going to start Thielen, and you're going to probably start Cousins as well, because everybody's just going to go off. It's the Lions. This game shouldn't be close. Thielen's been killing it recently, and it's just they're just going to be, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit of a shootout. A lot of Reynolds and a lot of Jamal Williams. Flying through these games pretty quick. Next game, Giants-Dolphins. We're going to start Myles Gaskin. He has been a top running back, or on the top half of the running backs in recent weeks because of volume. No Malcolm Brown has been the best thing for him. I expect him to have a good game, as the Giants can't stop the run, and it's just going to be ugly. They didn't stop the run against if they didn't force Boston Scott to fumble, the Eagles are running the ball. Eagles are running the ball. So I expect Gaskin to do well. I did talk about Tua as a sleeper. I do like Tua. No Daniel Jones. He has been ruled out with a neck strain. Mike Glennon is going to be the starting quarterback. That makes me like Saquon a whole hell of a lot more because of dump offs. Dump off here, dump off there, dump off here. That gets me a little excited, especially being a Saquon Barkley owner and a Giants fan, to see what Saquon can do with the volume. He led all running backs in snap percentage last week in the entire NFL. So he's healthy. Giants trust him. And I expect this to be another one of his big games. I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up at least 20 points. based off of just volume. He'll probably have 8 to 9 catches. And then obviously he'll run the ball a little bit. I expect him to at least have a touchdown. So I feel good about Saquon, but we'll see. I could be completely wrong. I don't know. Anyway, you're going to start Waddle, and you're going to probably start Gesicki based on your tight ends. I do like, again, Foster Moreau over the over Mike Gesicki. He does have 3 zeros across the board, 0 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards. Obviously, after 0 targets, you're not getting the ball at all, but no points, no runs, no nothing. If Devontae Parker plays as well, that could help him a little bit as he would be going back into his traditional tight end role and not be playing wide receiver. He's a very talented tight end and has the ability to, as we've seen, go off to have decently big games. It does not happen often. But you never know. Waddle is going to probably be covered by James Bradbury the entire game. We talked about the Adoree Jackson not being there. If that is the case, I expect Waddle to have a very good game, as Bradbury is not going to be able to stay with him the entire game and probably lose him in coverage, and Waddle is going to have a 60-yard touchdown catch. Waddle is going to get over 12 targets, over 8 targets, between 8 to 12, probably have over 100 yards, and if he can break one, have a touchdown. If you have Waddle, you're playing him. It was a great breakout game last week, and we want to see him score because his touchdown celebrations are like, boom, there's a little wow, wow, wow. It's adorable. Gotta love it. Jalen Waddle, load him up. Next game, Eagles and Jets. Sorry, I'm just going to take a quick swig. Eagles, Jets. The only person I really like here is Elijah Moore. For the simple fact of that's it. You don't know what running back you're going to get, clearly. Corey Davis is if Davis plays, he'll probably get Slay on him. You just don't know what's going on. You're just feed the ball to Elijah Moore. He should have at least 15 targets. If Elijah Moore does not have 15 targets, that's a problem. This game probably won't be close. As close as the Houston game. Darius Slay primarily plays on, I believe it's the right side of the field. He does not shadow anybody. Or the left side. I think it's the left side. Elijah Moore has been lining up more on the outside than the slot receiver. So you just have to watch that. But he's not going to shadow Elijah Moore. So Elijah Moore still has the ability to get his. If Mike LaFleur is aware of this, as if I'm aware of it, they should be aware of it. You should be lining up Elijah Moore away from Darius Slay and make Darius Slay come over to Elijah Moore. So Elijah Moore should get his and get his often early. I do like Elijah Moore here as a little bit of a sleeper for this game. If you're in super flex or deeper receiver leagues, as I am, you're probably going to look to start him here. You're hoping that they understand that they need to tell Zach Wilson to get him the football, as he is their best player right now on the field. The Philly running backs are a mess in regards to injuries. Who's playing? Who's not playing? What's going on? Jalen Hurts' ankle, he is questionable. I do expect him to play. Miles Sanders was not listed on the injury report today, so that's always a good sign. Boston Scott should still get his as well. Miles Sanders plays. They're just going to run the ball with a bunch of them. If Miles Sanders doesn't fumble, he should have a decent game as well. A double digits, you know, just barely maybe 10 points. Maybe a catch here or there, at the most 2. But Boston Scott's probably going to get the goal line work if they get to the goal line, or Jalen Hurts, depending on how his ankle feels with some rollouts. I do expect a couple, you know, like naked bootlegs for touchdowns, because they may expect Hurts' ankle to be bothering him, so they may just all commit to the run if they get to the goal line. That is the Jets' defense that I'm referring to. But the Eagles are going to run the ball. After seeing what Jalen Hurts did last week, they're just going to run the ball. And they also want to get the ball to Devontae Smith more. Devontae Smith wants the ball. You do not throw the ball to Jalen Reagor or Quez Watkins. You get Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith involved. You just paid Goedert. You give him the ball. And you took the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith, and you get him the football. Devontae Smith was being... After the game, he's like, I want the ball. He's a coach. I want the ball. Like, throw me the ball. I'll make the catches. Jalen Reagor, Jalen Hurts has a better game if Reagor knows how to catch the ball. He reminds me of Freddie Mitchell.
I like to thank myself for these hands. Like, dude, can't catch nothing. Stop it. Just think about that for a second, too. Justin Jefferson went the next pick. Justin Jefferson went the pick after Rager. If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm going nuts, all right? Anyway, as I digress, Hurts and Smith should have better games. Smith is not going to have another four-point game. Hurts is not going to have another eight-point game. Depending on your scoring, it's not going to happen. I trust them. I just don't trust the game plan to work for them. So they are lower on the trust or bust to the fours. They're both fours. The higher one, I would say, is Devontae Smith because they're going to probably try to get him the ball. The Jets' pass defense is not good. So if he can get, you know, get free here or there, he does have the ability to take it to the house and get behind the defense. So, but maybe one play. Other than that, it's going to be some peppers and, you know, could be a squeaky wheel game for Devontae Smith a little bit, not a major squeaky wheel game. And by squeaky wheel, I mean when you have a squeaky wheel, you tend to focus on that wheel and put oil on it or grease on it. So that's what, you know, oh, Devontae Smith might be chirping a little bit. You know, let's give him the ball to stop the squeaking. Hence the squeaky wheel game. Also, you may use the term of a get right game when I get to the Rams game. Just being that they're going to be able to kind of get the ball rolling and get their offense flowing back. They're going to get right. They're going to get back on track. Just to kind of give you guys a little bit of the lingo who might be newer here or listening to this, this way you kind of understand what that terminology and that lingo means. So yes, I like Dallas Goedert as well to have a little bit of a better game. Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts, but I expect better games from the running backs. But I think they're just going to be split duties. You can't necessarily trust one more than the other. In deeper leagues, I have no problem starting Boston Scott, but if Miles Sanders is good to go, you're going to play Miles Sanders if you have him. Whew, man. Next, we have Washington, the Washington football team, and the Raiders. On the season, the Washington football team has given up the most points to quarterbacks. Derek Carr should have a good game. Derek Carr leads the league in explosive plays or deep plays over, you know, 20 yards or more. Leads the league in it. Leads the league in passing. They have Deshaun Jackson. Derek Carr is going to have a good game. Hunter Renfrow should have the best game here with Foster Moreau being the tight end, not Waller. They also, like I said, Deshaun Jackson to stretch the field, but Hunter Renfrow coming off of a great 8-catch, 124-yard performance against the Cowboys. I just expect him to essentially duplicate that game right now. Maybe not the yardage, but he's going to get those catches. As there is no Darren Waller, they're going to have to give those targets to other people. I do not see all of those targets going to Foster Moreau. I do see a lot of them going to Hunter Renfrow. Antonio Gibson is going to get a nice workload here, especially with no JD McKissick. Okay, if JD McKissick doesn't play, he's led the league in touches the past 3 weeks, Antonio Gibson, the past 2 weeks. Washington also likes to take prolonged drives. So, you know, 11 plays, 13 plays, 14 plays. They enjoy that. Why? I don't know. But that means running the ball, some dump offs. You know, if there's no McKissick, I expect, you know, Gibson to catch the ball a little bit more. This has the ability to be a very good Antonio Gibson game. He looks the best he's looked this season. You'll love to see it, especially depending on where you drafted him. This is what you were hoping you'd be getting when you drafted him. The Raiders also rank in the bottom of points against in all positions. So Terry McLaurin, sign him up. Logan Thomas, sign him up. Or get him in. Get him in. Heinicke, I'm playing him because it's a super flex. And I have Hurts, Daniel Jones, and Heinicke. So that kind of sucks. But it is what it is. You got to do something, right? So I'm playing Heinicke on the off chance that he can get a touchdown or rush for a touchdown or maybe throw one to Logan Thomas. So we'll see. I do expect this to be a shootout, but I also expect that just because the Raiders are going to score very quickly, they're going to end up leaving their defense on the field a lot longer because of the drives that Washington tries to have, the long drives that is. Like I said, you're playing Foster Moreau, you're playing him over Kyle Pitts. You know, I like him, even in the matchup for the Cardinals for Cole Kmet and Zach Ertz and Cole Kmet that game. I do like him a little more than Cole Kmet, Foster Moreau, that is. Not so much over Zach Ertz. Obviously over Uzama, over Conklin. I like him over Hockenson. Obviously Ingram over Gesicki. So, I like Foster Moreau over those guys. So if you had Waller and you had Gesicki, I do like Moreau over them. Logan Thomas also should have a very good game. He looked good, and you like to see that. So, and as I referenced before, with the Get Right game, we have the Jaguars versus the Rams. This game is going to be very interesting in the simple fact of I'm trying to figure out who's not going to score for the Rams. Like, I'm going up against Cooper Kupp in one league, and I'm dreading it because this is going to be a shit show. I'm going up against Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, and I want to cry, okay? And if the guy who I'm playing listens to this, I'm probably going to cry. I'm glad Zeke and Schultz didn't have big games last night. That gave me a chance. It's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. If the Rams get out early, I expect them to kind of run a little bit more. Henderson may not play. If that's the case, you want to get Sony Michel if you don't already have him, because that is an option, because I do expect everybody for the Rams to do well. OBJ may also not play, as he, in regards to like practice, he wasn't practicing. He had back pain. Let me get the exact thing right now. He is considered questionable for the game on Sunday. If he is out, that bumps up Van Jefferson and Tyler Higbee. Only if OBJ is out. If you only have Tyler Higbee, I feel bad for you, but this is one of those games where I think everybody's going to get involved. So best of luck to Jacksonville in trying to survive this game. And Trevor Lawrence, good luck with Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and Jalen Ramsey. I do not trust James Robinson. He was a dud of the week, but he's the only person I really like because he's the only person that they have. And I like O'Shaughnessy. With Dan Arnold being out, O'Shaughnessy saw a big target share. He got what Dan Arnold was supposed to get, and he's probably going to get a lot more of that. He's going to get over 5 targets, and he should have over 5 catches. So if you need, again, a streaming tight end and you want a long shot, O'Shaughnessy is a good option here if you had or were playing Dan Arnold for any reason. And that's pretty much it. Start every Ram you can, known to man. Cooper Kupp, if Michelle plays, play Michelle. If Henderson plays, Henderson. You're starting Stafford. You want OBJ to play this week. If you have OBJ, you want him to play because this is a game where they can kind of get him a little bit more involved and not have to necessarily worry about if he's running the wrong route, because they should be able to just blow Jacksonville out of the water. However, Buffalo thought the same thing and they lost 9-6, so nothing surprises me. But the Rams, they have more weapons than Buffalo, and I think people tend to forget that. So I do like O'Shaughnessy over Tyler Higbee. If you have Kyle Pitts, I feel like the floor is higher for Higbee in this game, just this game, than Pitts is. Pitts' ceiling is higher, but I think you're going to get a better floor from Tyler Higbee. So next game is going to be ugly as well, as it is a rivalry game, and the Ravens should continue to be the number one seed in the AFC for the playoffs after this one. They are going to put their foot on the Steelers' necks, throats, whatever, and step on it. This is going to be an absolute massacre, okay? Marquise Brown, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, Devontae Freeman, Oh, and the Ravens defense. All right. Bateman has been inconsistent. This could be a big Bateman game. And if you have him, depending on how your team's going, you're going to play him. I know I traded him in this league to a buddy of mine. So far right now, I got the better end of that deal, in my opinion. But we'll see. Probably in a couple of years, I know I didn't, but we'll see how those draft picks turn out. It's a dynasty league. But I like Marquise Brown. He wants to get his, and he's been a PPR monster. He's had eight catches last week, like 30 yards. Even though it sucks for the yardage, you know, they just had to get rid of the ball quickly because Lamar didn't have much time to throw. This game, he should have more time to throw, as Joe Hayden is not playing. It is just Minkah Fitzpatrick and maybe TJ Watt. He does have COVID, so we have to see. If Watt doesn't play, forget about it. Andrew should have a good game, as always. Freeman should have a good game because they're probably going to want to run the ball as well, keep everybody off. But the big four, start them. Freeman, you know, I had touched on Freeman as a sleeper. I expect him to get over his 10 points. I expect him to hopefully get close to that 20. But we'll see. He's not going to catch too many passes this week because I don't think he's going to have to, but you never know. For the Steelers, the only one I feel the most confident about is Najee Harris, for the simple fact of I firmly believe Big Ben is going to be throwing the ball to save his life. And in order to do that, you're going to have to dump it off to Najee Harris. That does also increase the chances for Deontay Johnson to have a better game, as it's going to be a lot of hot reads to Deontay Johnson. I do have him as my dud of the week, because I firmly believe that Big Ben is not going to have enough time to throw. I think you're going to see a little uptick in targets for Ray-Ray McCloud and Chase Claypool. Not so much Deontay Johnson. It's unfortunate, but we saw what happened last week, and I think what happened last week is going to happen again this week. The Steelers are at the bottom part of the league for points against to everything except tight ends. They are better against tight ends, but this is Mark Andrews that we are talking about. So I do fully expect Mark Andrews to get his and the rest of the Ravens to get theirs as well, as this compares to the Rams-Jaguars game. Whew. And that brings me to 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. Well, Elijah Mitchell should be able to put up another like 150 rushing yards and a couple catches, especially with no Deebo Samuel. I do expect Elijah Mitchell to get a couple more catches as there is no Deebo. You're going to think Brandon Ayuk. This should be a big Brandon Ayuk game or a bigger Brandon Ayuk game because there is no Deebo Samuel. I do also like George Kittle here for the simple fact of it's George freaking Kittle and there's no Deebo. So you got to give those targets and those touches to somebody else. Brandon Ayuk, like I said, should have a good game. He finished strong last year. He should finish strong again this year. And if San Francisco continues to play well and win games, I expect them to rest Deebo longer to have him for the playoffs because he's that special and important to them. If they need him to win, he'll come back early. If they continue to win and play well without Deebo, I expect San Francisco to play it on the safer side, which would then in turn help out Brandon Ayuk, Mitchell, and Kittle rest of season. Because you have to understand, we're playing for fantasy playoffs and championships. They're playing for the real thing. So, I also see this being another squeaky wheel game. I use this this metaphor for the Eagles-Jets game. I do expect, everybody has said, even the offensive coordinator, we need to get DK Metcalf more involved. He is a freak of nature. Terrell Owens-esque build, okay? Taller, but muscle-wise, body-wise, how he takes care of himself, very similar to the one and only Terrell Owens. He was visibly upset, but he gets it, okay? Russell Wilson is your quarterback. You're not going to complain too much because it's Russell frickin' Wilson. but I do expect DK to have a bigger game as they are going to find ways to get him the ball and let him create. Because he can do that. Very Tyler Lockett-esque, getting the ball quick, shifty screens. He is a big body, but he is very quick. If you need to know how quick he is, go back and watch him chase down one of the Arizona Cardinals on an interception. It's quite amusing. Gerald Everett had a very good game last week. Now, in Gerald Everett standards. Now, if they decide to get DK more involved, that is going to take away targets and catches from Gerald Everett. That is one reason Gerald Everett scares me. The other reason is over the last four games, the 49ers are one of the top teams in points allowed to tight ends. And Gerald Everett is not George Kittle. He is not Travis Kelce. He is not Mark Andrews. All right. He is not Rob Gronkowski. He's not one of those guys. So I do not expect him to, you know, overachieve. You know, he is a better option, again, over a possible Kyle Pitts, over a TJ Hockenson, maybe, over a O'Shaughnessy, over a Tyler Higbee, because that game's going to be a disaster. I have him around the Foster Moreau range. I like him more over Noah Fant. I like him more over Dawson Knox and over Hunter Henry. With that being said, as I say, Noah Fant, I am very simply, very quickly, Seattle is also 30th for points allowed to running backs, which is why I feel so confident that Elijah Mitchell should have a very good game, piggybacking off of his last game where we saw how good he actually is and was, and everybody tends to forget who Trey Sermon is. So, with that being said, as I say, Noah Fant, we're going to hop right in, and I'm doing this real quick. Hop right in with the Broncos Chiefs. If Melvin Gordon does not play, Javonte Williams should have a massive game as the Denver Broncos are going to look and control the time of possession. Javonte Williams is a freak, and this could very well be the game if Gordon doesn't play where he loses the split and it becomes the Javonte Williams show that everybody's been talking about for weeks now. And Melvin Gordon just fades off into the sunset and goes to another team at the end of the season. But Melvin Gordon will still have an integral part of this, be an intricate part of this, integral part of this offense. Sorry for the tongue twister. But yeah, no, Melvin Gordon should, you know, be fine if he plays. Didn't expect him, you know, surprised with all this going on that he even came back last week to finish out the game. But again, revenge game, could have felt some, you know, some adrenaline going last week. Kansas City should have a good game all around with Mahomes, Hill, and Kelce. CEH does scare me, as does Darrell Williams. But Denver does rank towards the bottom against all these positions. So I do want to see in the last four games how they rank against running backs. They are ranked 14th for points allowed to running backs. So they're in the middle of the pack. But again, they're going to try to control the game and things like that. Higher upside could be the Broncos wide receivers. As the Chiefs defense, you know, again, isn't the greatest of all time. They have been getting better. It's going to depend on how much time Teddy Bridgewater has to throw the ball. But I do like Javonte Williams here. And if you're desperate, you're probably going to play Sutton or Judy. Not a big Tim Patrick guy. And I don't like Noah Fant. If you have Mecole Hardman and you're looking to play him for some crazy reason, I am not a fan of Mecole Hardman. I am a bigger fan of Byron Pringle, as he has outplayed Mecole Hardman in the last couple weeks. He's shown to be a little bit more reliable than Hardman as well. Just a sneaky little play in case for some reason they decide to take away Tyreek Hill and kind of live or die by Kelce. Then you have Pringle. But yeah, I mean, I don't feel super comfortable with CEH, but it's CEH. It's the Chiefs offense. Him and Josh Jacobs are around the same for me right now. But yeah, that's pretty much it. for the Sunday night game. I'm about a 3-4 on all the Broncos receivers. They just haven't been playing well. The only people that tend to play well are the running backs. Their defense has been stepping up. Patrick Surtain has been playing well. He topped off at, I believe it was 22.07 miles per hour on his pick six last week. I do expect him to maybe be more on Tyreek Hill as he has the speed to stay with some additional speed to stay with him, as there really is nobody quick enough to keep up with Tyreek Hill. So that's why I kind of maybe expect a bigger Kelce game here and a bigger Byron Pringle game here. But the Chiefs very well could try to get CEH, you know, just more and more involved, you know, just kind of work the rust off, get him ready for the playoffs. And then we have the game of the season right here. This is the game of the season. Wasn't Bucks, Cowboys, wasn't Rams, Bucks, wasn't, no, it is in the AFC East. We have the Patriots versus the Bills in some windy freaking weather, and it might even be snowing up in Buffalo. We have Mac Jones against Josh Allen and the mastermind against, I don't know what you're going to call him. I don't know what you call him over at Buffalo. But the Bills, in a real football sense real quick, are not necessarily as talented as people, in my estimation, people believe them to be. They have Josh Allen. That makes a lot of problems go away. They have no running game, and they only have Stephon Diggs. Cole Beasley, slot guy. Oh, yeah, I'll catch a couple, get, you know, a couple yards, blah, 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 blah. Emmanuel Sanders has faded since the beginning of the season. And Dawson Knox is, maybe he'll get you two touchdowns like he did on Thanksgiving. I do like Knox here a little bit more because they're going to try to take Diggs away. The Patriots are one of the top teams in the NFL, as well as the Bills. The Patriots do tend to give up. I lied. They're tied for fifth for points against tight ends. It's just ugly. They're middle of the pack for running backs, but like I said, the Bills don't really run the ball. However, I could see a little bit of a bigger Matt Breida game, as they're going to probably use some passes in the flat as the extension of the running game. And Matt Breida is very underrated and is better, I believe, than Singletary and Zach Moss, just very injury prone. Like, Breida is a sneaky play in DFS. Now, against quarterbacks, points allowed for fantasy, the top two teams are the Bills and the Patriots. Season long, even the last 4 weeks. The last 4 weeks, the Patriots are number one, Bills are number two. Running backs, like I said, Patriots are 16th, the Bills are 26th. So I do tend to like the Patriots running game a little bit more. Both backs are going to be used in Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. So if you have either one of them, you're going to play them. If you have both, pick one. If you have one, either one, you're going to play either one. They are going to slow the game down, and if it is as windy, I expect a bigger running back game. Against wide receivers, the Bills and Patriots are 1-2. Patriots being number one, Bills being number two. However, that was before the Bills lost Tre'Davious White. The Bills now no longer have Tre'Davious White, and I do expect decent games from Kendrick Bourne and possibly Jacoby Myers. The only thing that scares me, and I will preface this, is the wind. How will Mac Jones fare with the wind? We don't know. But shorter screen plays, it's not going to be as bad as, what was it, that crazy storm that they had in San Francisco with the Colts and the Niners. Not crazy winds like that, where the ball's just going to like hit a wall and stop, but it's going to be windy. So just keep that in mind, but I do feel confident with Kendrick Bourne. He has become Mac Jones's top and favorite deep target. Mac Jones looks for him. His past three games have been very good. And I just feel very comfortable with Kendrick Bourne. I've been talking him up. I've been talking him up for the past couple weeks now on for to pick him up in on off the waiver wires. I have been. I think he's very talented. I think he has the ability to make big plays. They paid a lot of money for him, and I'm trying to look at his last couple. I'm trying to pull up his last games. Give me one sec. I pulled up the wrong league. I might actually even start either Moore or Bourne over Darnell Mooney. That's what I like about Bourne and Mooney right now. So his last, the Atlanta game, they just ran the ball. But his last three games have been good. 28 points against Tennessee, 27 points against Cleveland. He did have some duds against Carolina and the Chargers, but their run defenses were not as good. You see the running backs had better games there. And against the Jets, he had 20 points. And against Dallas, he had 19 points. Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze. I did sneeze. Against New Orleans, 24 points. Like, he has been having really good games. He's averaging 13.9 points per game. He has 167 points on the year. His projected total was 104. So he's already exceeded that. So again, like I said, like Kendrick Bourne here. Like him a lot. Can't stop talking about him. You're going to play Stephon Diggs, even though the Patriots take away your best option and they have JC Jackson. Stephon Diggs is a phenomenal route runner, as we saw last week against the Saints. So you're going to start Stephon Diggs. Don't feel super comfortable about it because it's going to be a crazy hard matchup for him, but he's going to still get his catches. They'll probably look for him more intermediary routes and look for him when they get closer to the red zone. If they get closer to the red zone, the Patriots have just been playing lights out over the past 4 to 6 weeks. This is going to be a banger of a game. Real quick, I'm going to run over a couple of trusts or busts for this week. Kyle Pitts is a 3-4 on the trust or bust. Devontae Smith is at that 4-5 range, where Jalen Hurts is at that 3-4, because the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe, are going to run the ball a lot more. Josh Jacobs is at a 6. His matchup is very favorable, and they've been including him in the passing game a lot more. Now, that's if he plays. If he does not play, please play. If you have Josh Jacobs and you have Kenyon Drake, look to play Drake in the situation. If you do have a Jamal Williams, obviously you're playing Williams. I got to play Williams over Jacobs and Madison over Jacobs. I just would. Jacobs over Robinson, no, I do not trust Robinson at all. He's probably just going to bortle his way to get some points, though, and could hit his projection because the Jaguars suck. But he is about a 2-3 on the trust-o-meter. Carson Wentz. I believe this is going to be a huge Jonathan Taylor game, as it was the last time they played Houston, as Carson Wentz only threw 20 passes the last time they played Houston, and I believe completed 11-14 of them. Where are those going? If they're going to anybody, wait, I actually didn't go over that game. I skipped that game. We have to touch on that. My apologies. Jonathan Taylor, you're starting him. You're only starting Brandon Cooks. You ain't starting Tyrod Taylor. Brandon Cooks is it. That's it. The only option. Sorry for you. JT, I'm not crazy about Wentz, and I like the upside possibly of T.Y. Hilton, because he just torches them. In 19 games, he has over 1,000 yards against the Houston Texans. He is their father, okay? They call him daddy. Pittman could get some red zones, and I do like Jack Doyle as a sleeper tight end pick over Kyle Pitts, over O'Shaughnessy. He has been getting a higher target share. However, I am going to say this with a grain of salt. I do expect a bigger, again, like I said, running game from Indianapolis. Hurt. But the first half, all JT. Michael Thomas scares me. Michael Pittman scares me. Michael Thomas scares me because he ain't playing this year. Michael Pittman scares me because of the lack of passing attempts that Carson's going to throw. So you're going to start the Colts defense. With that, we're going to segue back over. Wentz is about a 4 on the trust meter for me to a 5. I do not anticipate him putting up the numbers he put up last week against the Bucks. Russell Wilson, are we going to let see Russ cook this week? I do not think so. He does play San Francisco. I trust him about a 4. They're going to try to get DK more involved. The only way Russ's numbers go up is if DK is able to take one of those passes to the house. His finger does not look good. Hopefully, maybe this is the game where it feels better, being a shorter turnaround time, not as much time off, because they just played on Monday. We shall see. Teddy Bridgewater. Nope. 3, 2. Jamar Chase. 5. I went over this before. If you want to rewind as to why, with Burrow being a dud of the week, I just expect this to be a ginormous Joe Mixon game again. Could possibly eclipse over 175 yards for Joe Mixon with, count it, 3 TDs. DK, squeaky wheel game. I trust him. I'm on a 6 for DK just for the simple fact that I think that they're going to force feed him the ball this game. Mike Williams, nope, not happening. 3. Chase Claypool. This scares me because I'm not big on Deontay Johnson, but, you know, this is just something out there. He's about a 4 for me as well. I'm probably going to... I would start DK over Deontay Johnson because all the reports are saying you're going to get DK the ball, okay? I'm going to start DK over Mike Williams and DK over Chase Claypool because, again, the reports of we're going to feed him the ball. Dawson Knox. I do trust Dawson Knox here because I do believe that New England is going to take away Stephon Diggs and Knox should have a bigger game, especially in the red zone. Would not be surprised if you see Knox with 6 targets and a touchdown for about 60 yards. Just saying. Logan Thomas is another player that I like, as well as TJ Hockenson, because of the Kyle Pitts situation that you could be in. I like Logan Thomas and Hockenson both over Pitts because you just have Josh Reynolds, and I believe that Detroit's going to be playing from behind, and you're going to have to feed the ball to somebody other than Josh Reynolds and Jamal Williams, that being TJ Hockenson. And as I said, Logan Thomas, as Taylor Heinicke has proven and shown to you, that he really does enjoy his tight ends and Terry McLaurin. Those are a little bit of my trusts or busts. Guys, I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I tried streaming this podcast on StreamYard. I'm going to try and still get it out to you guys somehow, some way, so you can listen to this beautiful voice on audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Anchor. Go take a look. I know I've been hitting you guys with a lot of those Anchor ads, but I appreciate it. Anchor made it available for me to run those ads, try to start up something to reinvest into this podcast to help get you guys a better product. I greatly appreciate it, and I know I got to step up my game with my statistics and my information and my breakdowns, and I promise you I'm going to. That is going to happen. You know, also a little bit of what's going on for me this weekend in my fantasy leagues. My one buddy Zub and I, who I want to have on at some point, who talk betting and just fantasy football as well and even some real sports. We are currently in second place in our division. You know, you want to win first because you get a little something, something. We're playing the guy who's in first place right now. Favorable matchup. We'll see what happens. We got Herbert. We got Kelsey. We got Gaskins. We got Miles Gaskin and Sanders, but we got money Alexander Mattison. We also have Hunter Renfro. I'm not just having them be the starts of the week. I really do like the matchups. This is not... Zoom in our other dynasty league, who I just went up against, has Lamar Jackson. You know, I'm in a lot of different leagues. I have a lot of different players. I am not saying these are unbiased starts or duds of the week. I call the Jamar Chase. I call a little bit of the Joe Burrow. Last week, these are not biased calls. But that's one league. Another two leagues, I'm out of it, but I'm trying to play spoiler. I'm in first place in another league. I should win this, and I'll be in first place. You know, I'll continue to be in first place. And then in my dynasty league, I am in sixth place. Top six teams make it. I am playing the number two team in the league. And then next week, I play the team that's in first place right now. So that is not looking like it's going to be fun for me. I'm hoping I can at least be 7-7, making the playoffs with Jalen Hurts on a bye next week. I'm in a little bit of a predicament. May need to make some deals on Sunday. I will talk to you about those trades come Tuesday, because we're going to be hanging out with the Dynasty guys and watching some games and making some deals. Also, I'm in a friends league with my wife and some family. I am in fifth place in that league, 7-5 right now, looking to get a big, big win to make sure I can make the playoffs and see if I can maybe make a run. I had Zeke and CeeDee Lamb. I should have gone on my gut and started Tony Pollard. Didn't happen. But we live and we learn here, right? That's what this is about. That's what fantasy sports are. I can only give you my perspective on things, who I think is going to perform well. And then you just got to take it or run with it. You can either go against the grain, or you can cut with the grain. So guys, like I said, I appreciate it. I'm also going to try to get out a betting episode tomorrow. I'm going to be talking to my buddy CJ about that tonight and tomorrow to see if we can maybe do some stuff there. We're going to see what happens with that. Also, like I said, I'm going to look to break down other things and jot down my weird stats and notes like that for game reviews. I want to give you guys the best product I can and let you know that I mean it. I appreciate it. I love fantasy sports. Sucks about the baseball lockout. I was looking forward to doing some baseball stuff, but, you know, ish happens, right? But guys, like I said, always, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. You guys have been the best. I really like StreamYard so far with the first podcast. When I get more guests on, maybe we could just keep doing it with this, baby. That being said, win your guys' weeks. I'll talk to you guys later. Hey guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the Week 13 preview and the Thursday Night Football review. I enjoyed recording it, as I always do, and I am live on Twitter at sports_euphoria, Twitch at sportseuphoria, and the VODs go up on YouTube as well, Sports Euphoria, and search Facebook Sports Euphoria. You will see me go live and do these podcast recordings live, where you can interact with myself and my other guests and co-hosts to ask us questions. We greatly appreciate it. And we love that you guys listen, and we love that you hear everything. I hope this episode, you guys got a lot out of it, and I hope it helps you win your weeks. With that being said, guys, have a great weekend, and I will talk to you guys on Tuesday. Later.